The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't want it, you don't need it, but you're going to get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
The presenting sponsor of this podcast, as always, is Window Nation. Real lucky to have them. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. If you've been thinking about new windows, mention my name and you'll get a free, no obligation in-home estimate. So you've got nothing to lose. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. So the date on this podcast is Friday, May 3rd. It's actually being recorded late in the afternoon on Thursday, May 2nd, because I am out of town on an extended weekend. However, it's a very good show today because Chris Cooley's coming up in the next segment, and Cooley has done a film breakdown of one of Washington's draft picks from last week. He's done Ben Sinnott, the tight end from Kansas State, the third second-round pick by Washington, 53 overall. Many of you said last week, reminds me of Cooley. I said the same thing. Same size, basically, almost to the exact, you know, height and weight, and playing style, very similar. Guess what? I think Cooley agrees. Coming up in the next segment, and we won't take that long to get there, Chris Cooley with a film breakdown of Ben Sinnott, the tight end from Kansas State. I'm going to try to get Cooley to do film breakdowns of some of the other draft picks over the next, you know, few weeks, maybe few months. Who knows? We've got plenty of time between now and training camp. And remember, he already did a film breakdown of Jaden Daniels. That was his number one overall QB. Also on the show today, Eddie C. Eddie C's been a regular for this time of year, the Triple Crown races. The Derby is on Saturday or tomorrow, if you're listening to this podcast on Friday. Eddie C will break down the race and give us his best bets. That will be in the final segment of the show. I wanted to start this show by reading this tweet from Brian. Brian writes, Kev, I love you, but I was just listening to your Monday pod. Do you really think that Jaden Daniels is better off because he has DQ, Dan Quinn, and Kingsbury than he would have been with Mike and Kyle? I agree that it was all Snyder, but thank you, Brian. Follow me on Twitter, on X, at Kevin Sheehan DC. Yeah, I said on Monday that the big difference between RG3 and Jaden Daniels, and there are many differences, both from a football standpoint and from a personality standpoint, I don't see them as being similar at all, other than being electrifying runners and very mobile quarterbacks. But really, the biggest difference is that RG3 had to come into an organization that was owned by Dan Snyder, and Jaden Daniels doesn't. And so to answer your question, Brian, yes, I think Daniels is better off in this organization with Dan Quinn as his head coach and Cliff Kingsbury as his offensive coordinator than he would have been had, say, he been in the 2012 draft and drafted into an organization owned by Dan Snyder with Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, I do. I absolutely believe that. Look, not every player came in here and failed. Not every player came in here during the Snyder era and didn't end up having an outstanding career. Look, Kirk Cousins came into this organization, and he's made more money than almost any quarterback that's ever played the game and has played at a high level. And I guarantee you, he gives a lot of credit to being drafted into the coaching environment that he was drafted into. But he didn't stay here. He didn't win much. And ultimately, too many players came into this thing and were in trouble because of the owner's proclivity for kind of saddling up next to star players. Remember, Kirk had the benefit and almost the cover of RG3 because Snyder didn't want to have anything to do with Cousins. He ignored him in the locker room, ignored him completely. Walked right by him after the Cleveland game in 2012 that Kirk started and threw 313 yards and multiple touchdowns in a game that kept their playoff chances alive. He walked right by him, the story goes, and walked right to Robert. You know, remember how incensed Robert was that he didn't get to play in that game and held his own press conference after the game to talk about how upset he was that he wasn't allowed to play. The doctors ruled him out. Shanahan wasn't going to go against the doctors. One of the great stories that Mike told is before that Cleveland game at the end of 2012, Snyder came out onto the field and went up to Mike and said, Robert thinks he can play. Why don't we let him play? And Mike said, absolutely not. The doctors have ruled him out. And he said, well, he's not very happy. And Mike said, well, I don't care. Talk to the doctor about it. If the doctor clears him, he can play. And then Dan and Robert were just absolutely pissed off. Kirk lights it up, doesn't run one read option that day, if you recall. And Robert's in there holding a press conference after a game he didn't play in. It was insane. It should have been the first clue, because a lot of us knew something was percolating, but we didn't have all the details. But I do remember saying that was odd. That Griffin held his own press conference, but we were in love with Griffin at that point. But Kirk had the benefit of not having to deal with Snyder as a best friend or wanting to be his best friend. I absolutely think Jaden Daniels is better off in this organization than one owned by Dan Snyder. And I get your point, Mike and Kyle, you know, and Kyle and all of those coaches, phenomenal coaches for quarterbacks, and almost everybody's benefited to a certain degree just being around those guys. But I like Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, there's a lot I don't know about what he's going to be at this level with just being the coordinator, but he's been a QB guru and an offensive creator everywhere he's gone. And 2021 offensively for that Arizona team with him as the head coach was not a bad year offensively. Okay, so no NBA games to talk about, no Nats game to talk about, because again, I'm recording this on Thursday. So let's just get to Chris Cooley, and we'll do that right after these words from a few of our sponsors. All right, guys, now with the NFL draft behind us, it's time to focus on springtime games, like real games, playoff games. For me, it's the NBA playoffs. And if you're a daily fantasy sports player, I've got the app for you. Prize Picks is the app that's easy and exciting and a new way to play DFS. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. It's just you against the numbers, not you battling thousands of other players. It's you picking more than or less than on between 2 and 6 player stat projections with odds. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 during these NBA playoffs. Turn your NBA hoops knowledge into serious cash. Prize Picks, by the way, so simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use my code Sheehan for a first deposit match of up to $100. Again, download the Prize Picks app today. Use my code Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey guys, I want to tell you about Harry's. Many of you have probably heard of Harry's razors and shaving products, maybe even from this podcast. They've been an occasional advertiser over the years. I'm a customer. I have been for a while now. I think it goes back to the first shipment of product that they sent me before the first time they advertised on the pod, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They found a way, Harry's did, to make a beautifully designed razor for a fraction of the price of other big brands. I've been using their Truman handle. It's a two-tone handle with a great grip. It provides a close shave no matter if you've got a beard and you're shaving around it, or if you cleanly shave on a daily basis. Their German-engineered blades stay sharp and stay sharp for a long period of time. They've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills for as low as $2. That's half of what you pay other big brands. Right now, you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, and this is a no-risk trial. If you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them. Convenient subscription options exist that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. That's harrys.com/SHEEHAN for a $3 trial set.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Third down and 6 for Howard.
Look at him go. Ben Sinnott.
In a blinding snowstorm Thanksgiving Day weekend, Ben Sinnott, 10 catches, 136 yards, and a touchdown for Kansas State, who was playing at home and lost on that day 42-35 to Iowa State, but he was great in the game. Cooley's film breakdown of Ben Sinnott in a moment. But first, let me tell you about Window Nation's semi-annual sale. It's a big deal. Right now, you can get 50% off all windows, half price all windows, along with no interest for 5 years. Plus, you'll get bonus savings if you schedule an appointment today. If your windows are older, 10 years of age or older, if they leak, if they get foggy when it's damp outside, if they get hot to the touch on really hot days, you're paying high utility bills. You can cut those down significantly with new windows. Window Nation's semi-annual sale allows you to replace your windows and save big, along with a no-obligation in-home estimate if you mention my name. By the way, that in-home estimate, which is free, will actually identify the windows you need to replace versus those that you don't. Most people aren't even sure of that. Window Nation will come into your home and they'll say, yeah, this room, replace the windows. That room looks great. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Mention my name. They'll take really good care of you. All right, Cooley is here, and we will get to his film breakdown of Ben Sinnott. But I have to start by just asking you, were you paying attention to the draft at all, or was it just a case of you not following it at all?
I wasn't following it at all. Like, I watched the first four picks like I told you I would.
And that was it?
Or the first five quarterbacks, which is insane to have five quarterbacks on top 10 picks.
Six in the top 12.
Six in the top 12.
Maybe you had turned it off at that point.
Maybe it was still five in the top 10, and that's what I just told you.
Yeah. Yeah, Bo Nix went 12th overall to Denver. So Williams, Daniels, May, Penix Jr. to Atlanta at number 8. You did not do a film breakdown of him. I wanted you to do a film breakdown of him because I actually kind of liked him. And then J.J. McCarthy, 10, and Bo Nix, 12.
It's wild.
Yeah. you just turned it on for a little bit and then went and sprayed some foam into some ceiling area. Somewhere.
I watched some of the Saturday draft.
You did?
The second day draft. And then I watched some of the third day. Well, what was eating dinner? I was looking at it. I know none of the names, so it really doesn't make any difference to me if I'm watching it.
Right. All right. Well,
but hey, we watched the quarterbacks. I thought it was crazy. I thought it was crazy to go 1, 2, 3, and then what, 8, 10, 12. I actually like Bo Nix.
You do? Okay.
You know, the other thing I was thinking about with this draft is Minnesota's got to be sitting there saying that we Penix is our guy. Nobody's taking Penix, right? Atlanta's not. Chicago's already taken a quarterback. There's no way Atlanta takes a quarterback.
I don't know. I think that Kevin O'Connell saw J.J. McCarthy as Kirk Cousins, but more athletic.
Okay. How about Denver? Denver is hoping that Minnesota sees J.J. McCarthy as more athletic. I'm just surprised that somebody didn't. There's no way you would have guessed that Atlanta would have taken a quarterback.
No, that was.
Denver would have traded up to, or they would have tried to get up to 7. They'd try to jump him.
Tried to jump who? Who would have?
Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta was sitting there at 8. Tennessee wasn't going to take a quarterback at 7.
Yeah, they would have had to jump to 7.
Who would
take Penix?
Oh yeah, but I don't think Denver. Anybody below them was going to take Penix. I think Minnesota wanted McCarthy. If you think Denver wanted Penix, yeah, Denver would have had to make that move in front of Atlanta, but they wouldn't have known that. They would have thought probably sitting at 12 they could get Penix. But I've talked a lot about this week, and I know you've considered it a little bit as well. It's one of the. And I'm not just obsessing over it because it's Kirk Cousins involved, all right? It's just that it's one of the craziest picks in recent years, not because it's not a good player, not because having a succession plan, a quarterback, isn't a good idea. It's that they should have just gone into the offseason saying, we're going to take Michael Penix Jr. and we're going to take the $100 million that we would have spent in free agency on a quarterback and build a really good supporting cast around him. It just doesn't make any sense how you pay somebody $100 million and then you pick a 24-year-old quarterback and say he's not going to play for 2 or 3 years. But anyway, tell us about Ben Sinnott, unless you have a comment to that.
I don't have much of a comment, but the thing I actually – like is you take the guys you want when they're there. Did he say screw the rest of it?
Yeah, but
you can make whatever argument you want to make for Atlanta having a question of whether or not they're going to get Penix. Right? Because they could make it a giving up capital. It's like, here's the other thing. If you know you want Penix, you got $100 million that you're giving to Cousins. Don't do that. And instead, give up draft capital and go up to four where you know you're going to take him and pick an Arizona spot. Well, that would be the guarantee because then no one else can take the spot. So spend time in the offseason just making sure you get to four so you're going to get Penix.
But there was no mock draft or evaluation of the draft that had Penix Jr. going 4, 5, 6, or 7. They knew once they fell in love with Penix Jr. that he would be there with their pick. If anything, they could have potentially considered trading back, picking up draft capital, and still taking Penix Jr. Look, I thought Penix Jr. was rising.
Denver was going to take him over Bo Nix, so they weren't going to trade back
okay.
much.
All right, fair enough.
I got to assume Denver would have went Penix over Bo Nix.
Maybe.
But I like Bo Nix.
Yeah. All right, so tell us about Ben Sinnott, tight end, Kansas State. Looks like you. He kind of looked like you, didn't he?
My doppelganger?
Yeah.
Watch some K-State film, and you're like, that is Chris.
Looks a lot like you.
No, it's wild. If he's wearing number 47, we're identical.
Right.
It's because you see him coming out of the backfield a ton. He's really an H-back, or what most teams would call an F or something. Who cares what you call him? It's what Joe Gibbs calls an H-back. He's versatile.
Yeah.
Off the line of scrimmage, running routes, and they'll spread him out. They use him everywhere at K-State. They can go all the way out at wide receiver. He can be in that tight split where it looks like what Travis Kelce does a ton with one back to the side. Put his hand on the ground. He can be in the wing spot. He's playing fullback quite a bit. He plays next to the quarterback in shotgun in a bunch of situations. So he's got to be a really, really smart kid. You can't take a guy like this and play them every single position week in and week out without having a really intelligent football player. So I think he's got to be an intelligent football player. The point I was making, I guess, with the split out stuff is too, his vertical release is really good. I'm watching him because when you're watching film, it's like he runs a little bit upright. But I'm sitting there watching him. Like, this dude is fast. He's 4.68 at the combine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got wheels. And then I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, the dude can run routes. He's really, really qualified as a route runner. Technically, he's got good feet. He's underneath himself. He makes good breaks. He comes out of cuts well. He's almost always friendly to the football for the quarterback. He's clearly a big-time target. They're a big-time target. I mean, they want to go to him. Like, they're drawing up plays for him at K-State. So, fun to watch him. Couple things. As far as a receiver, I love that he catches the ball with his hands. Like, he's a hands catcher.
Right.
You know, he's not a body catcher. And it was funny, though, to say that. Like, I was watching the Peyton Manning thing on ESPN. What are those, Peyton's places?
Yeah.
And Lynn Swan was talking about being a chest catcher because he wanted to protect the ball. It's crazy, Lynn Swan, when you think about it or watch him, though. All those plays he went up over the top of everybody to still catch it with his chest.
Yeah. I can't remember how Lynn was, but that surprises me. I would have, if you had asked me, was Lynn Swan a hands catcher or a chest catcher, I would have just assumed he was a hands catcher.
You would assume that, but he's a chest catcher. Purposely, he said. He said that was on purpose.
Do you think it's smart to be a chest catcher on purpose?
I think it's smart to make sure you catch the ball. Some people can catch it with their chest all right. I could catch it with my chest.
You did catch a lot of balls with your chest, don't you think?
Yeah. In tight spots, you do actually protect the ball better. It's easier almost to turn and run, too, if you catch it on the side of into your chest where you're turning to run. I'll bet Ben Sinnott could do that.
He's a hands catcher, though. He reaches those hands out and snags it.
Yeah, he is. He is a big-time hands catcher. he can high point a football, man. And so I'm watching him go up and get a ball and then go back to the combine. I'm like, does he really have a 40-inch freaking vertical?
Do you know what his vertical 40. Was?
40.
It was 40 inches?
40-inch vertical.
Do you know what his RAS score was?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what RAS is?
No.
So it's relative athletic score. I actually had the guy that created it.
Incredibly high.
It was outrageously high. I went back and looked at yours. So hold on, I had that up. So Ben Sennett's at a scale of 0 to 10, his was 9.73. That is very high. Yours was pretty good too, but it wasn't as high. It was 8.75. And they categorized that back then as good. You were 6'3". What was your weight coming out?
265, but I wasn't.
Yeah, it says 265 here, and I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
I was never that. I did agent thought that I would be projected more as like a solid blocking tight end. He really didn't know. And so we did like a sodium load for a week or 4 days before the combine.
Before.
I was just so bloated, yeah. It didn't help me running either. It didn't help any of my RAS score. My RAS score would have been much better at 251, what I normally weighed.
Do you remember what you ran the 40 in?
I ran a 4.80 at the combine.
It says here.
I ran a 4.65 at my pro day.
It says 4.89 here, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's a 4.80.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a tremendous athlete. Apparently, he played every sport, too. Like, somebody had mentioned to me that he's even a decent tennis player.
I can see that. He was a big-time hockey player in high
school. Right, hockey, too.
Wanted to play college hockey. Actually, there's a walk-on to K-State.
Right.
Which is crazy. And now he's a second-round draft pick.
All right. Hands catcher.
Awesome run after catch. Like, again, guy wearing a weird number, making plays after the catch as an H-back. I kind of like that. But he's tough to bring down. He runs through everything. It's not always like an explosion. It's almost like I feel like I would never try to run guys over. It's like I'll take it on the side a little bit, and usually I could shake it. And that seems to be a lot of what he does. But, man, he to me is a guy that in a third down and six, you throw him the ball in a crosser or something short, he'll find a way to get the first down. He's also probably a guy that knows how to run the crosser to the depth that you need to run it to because he seems like a really smart player. So, a guy that you could throw a screen to at any point and I think is going to be dynamic and getting yards. Like, this is really cool because, like, if you look at the ultimate positive, the intangibles, the versatility is outstanding. He can do whatever you want to do on a football field. It's really so helpful when you have backs, tight ends, slot receivers that can do a bunch of different things because it makes your personnel so unpredictable. Like, you got two tight ends in the game, but is this guy really going to play tight end? Is he going to be a fullback? Are we going to split him out as a receiver? Oh, by the way, he was a receiver in high school. I don't know what the personnel grouping is. It's hard formationally and personnel-wise for defenses to dictate when you have that much versatility in certain players. The run after catch is a huge intangible. I mean, it's awesome. His hands are big-time intangible. So those are three things that I really like from Sennett. Okay, let's go through the rest of this. Run game. Average, really, really average in the run game. He's able, when he gets on guys in space, like if he's out in space and he gets his hands on guys, he's able to run his feet. He's a willing blocker. Like, I don't want to say he's an unwilling blocker. And he can play physical when he makes good contact. But he's a poor hand striker. Like, he's not great with his hands, his hand placement, his immediate fit. His footwork's average. And so he's not getting on the blocks with a lot of physicality early. Which he can work on that. That's something that he can absolutely improve on. The other problem is he's got a lot of bad misses. He's got a lot of overrun blocks where he's trying to track a linebacker and it's like, whoa, where did he go? And I've also told you this, and I'll bet you anything, it's the same instance. It's like Donnie Warren told me, did you have to be, you're closing your eyes when you get to contact, at least in the run game. And I focused on it, and I was 100% closing my eyes, which is a normal, natural instinct for anybody who is 5 yards away from another human being and is going to run at them and smash them as hard as they can, like a car crash. Like, you just close your eyes. It's a flinch. So he's got to focus. For me, I bet he'd have to focus on that. But he's got some bad misses. And a guy that can play tennis, that's played hockey, that's played everything, that's not unwilling to hit, doesn't have bad misses unless they're closing their eyes. There's no chance. So I think that some of the misses in the run game and blocking are pretty simple fixes if they can figure it out.
Okay.
But he'll go block. You can pull up film where he'll smash someone in the mouth. I mean, he's not afraid of contact by any means. And I don't think he has a strong dislike of blocking in the run game. I just think he's not technically there. So that's something he'll have to work on. But shoot, Kev, like, you go, if this guy can make plays down the field and vertically be a problem, which he will for NFL defenses, and figure out all the things he can do, like, how many times do we talk about someone like Travis Kelce's blocking?
Right.
You know? Which is actually not bad.
Right. I mean,
he works hard at it.
But we talked about Gronk's blocking, though.
Yeah. Gronk's blocking was very good. But being a average to just above average blocker, when you can use a guy in that many situations, is 100% good.
Is that what you would describe him as?
I'd say he's really average in the run game.
Okay.
Really average. I don't think it's size. I don't think it's physicality. I mean, he could probably gain some strength. But he's 6'4", 250.
Yeah.
You know, I think he could probably get a little bit stronger. He could probably work on his at contact moment quite a bit. And he will. He will work on that. And at that point, you find ways to put him in situations where he can excel. He can have some success. You don't put him on the line of scrimmage, put his hand down on the ground, and have Terrell Suggs 2 yards outside of you as an outside linebacker and say, hey, go out there and try to block him, reach block him.
Right.
Those are hard to happen to me. Those are hard situations. So I think they'll get it figured out.
I mean, you had Joe, like, who wanted to play Smash Mouth, and he's going to be in an offense with Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels, and they're probably going to open it up a little bit more.
Probably are. I'll tell you right now, though, Joe Gibbs would love Ben Sinnott. This would be his guy. Like, he would draft this guy.
Right.
This is his H-back, who can play tight end and play receiver, but he shouldn't. He's a tight end, right? He's a versatile tight end.
Yeah.
He's a VT.
Was there anything else other than, at this point, just average as a blocker that concerns you?
The only other thing that concerns me is he had some drops. Again, I don't know if I see that as a... He doesn't have great hands. I had some drops in my career, and it was one of those moments where you're like, why? Why?
Yeah.
I have no problem catching this ball. Because he can go up and make tough catches, he can make contested catches, he can make one-handed catches, and then all of a sudden... they're playing here, for example. They're playing Missouri. It was a tight game, back and forth. And he's got a drop on like a 10-yard dig route that he reaches his hands out and trying to catch the ball on 3rd and 6. And that's with like 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter in a tight game. They end up coming back, tied 27-27 down. Going down the field, there's about a minute 46 there at midfield. This would have put him in the field goal range. He's running a seam route, vertical, down the numbers. Hits him in the hands, boom, drop. They end up losing that ball game.
Yeah, unlike, if I recall, it was like a 60-something yard field goal, actually, that won the game for Missouri. It's a crazy game. So he had a big drop on the drive when they had a chance to take the lead.
He had two big drops, and two big drops in fourth down. But on the drive, it's about a minute 46 left in the game.
Okay,
they throw him a seam ball, and it's a drop. And I guarantee that crushed him.
Yeah.
Probably does not want to talk about those things. And the way I watch him attack a ball with his hands and the way I watch him catch, and he has soft hands, It doesn't concern me a lot. You're hoping it's not that it's a big moment in the game, but I don't necessarily see that. I think it's...
So you really like this player?
Making a big play. Yeah, I do. I'm a big fan. I think it's a good pick. I'm not sure where people had him going. He's probably a third to fourth round guy until he runs a 4.68 and jumps a 40-inch vertical.
Right. Yeah, he was very tested ridiculously as an athlete. You know, they signed Zach Ertz. Ertz played for Kingsbury in Arizona when he was the head coach there. For a young rookie quarterback, who's going to be on the field the most that first year, Ertz or Sinnott?
I don't know how they'll play him. I would really push to have Sinnott be on the field more than Ertz. I still like Ertz, but watching him with Arizona some last year, he's definitely not the same guy. He can be a huge positive influence for the team. They'll both play a lot. It's a hard decision, Kev, honestly. Like, without watching him in training camp and watching him work in practice and seeing how he adapts and adjusts, like, it could be one of those situations, and this is almost like my, if it's going to be continue to be similar to me, he'll start and play, you know, 40% of snaps to 50% of snaps for the first 7 or 8 weeks, and then he could develop into, hey, look, we want this guy as our, you know, as our one tight end when we go to third down situations, which he may start, and he'll play 70% of snaps, up to 80% of snaps, and by the second year, he won't come off the field.
He won't come off the field in the second year. All right, great job. I appreciate you doing this. Will you perhaps look at Washington's other 2 second-round picks? And by the way, a very important third-round pick, a guy that played tackle, played guard, but you know he was the only offensive lineman taken by Washington in the draft. And you know that's the one area where the fans believe they didn't do a good enough job in the offseason was tackle. So maybe we can get you to do some of the other guys in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we can do the other guys.
All right, go do what you need to do. I appreciate it.
You do the same.
Chris Cooley, everybody. He loves himself some Ben Sinnott. You got really good film breakdown there from Cooley. I can tell that he spent a lot of time watching a player that kind of looks and plays like he did. He loves the versatility of Sinnott as a pass catcher, the ability to line him up all over the field, and you know the constructive criticism being he thinks he's an average blocker at this point, but he can improve in that area. All right, that was great. Up next, a Derby preview with Eddie C., our guy. That's right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Hey guys, most of us are interested in our mental and physical well-being to a certain degree, and with that in mind, I'd like to welcome and introduce a new sponsor to the podcast. The new sponsor is Unified Healing, Unified spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, Healing. It doesn't matter if you're a big-time world-class athlete or just a somewhat athletic podcaster like me. We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring the podcast now. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the DMV or anywhere else across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Well, go to unifiedhealing.com/Sheehan to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/Sheehan. No material or testimonies on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You want to bet the Kentucky Derby tomorrow? You want to bet any of these Triple Crown races? MyBookie.ag is the place to go. They've got a racing book. They've got everything you need for tomorrow's Kentucky Derby, plus all of the NBA playoff action, NHL action, lots of NFL prop bets, future bets. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use my promo code Kevin DC. My bookie sports book is the best. Their race book is the best. You can count on fair numbers and fair pricing. Go to mybookie.ag, promo code. You have to put it in exactly the way I'm saying it. Kevin DC to get free cash, a free cash bonus on your initial deposit. All right, let's bring on our guy Eddie C., who gives us previews and picks for all of the Triple Crown races. Eddie C. grew up around here. Many of you know Eddie C. The whereabouts of Eddie C.'s existence these days, no one really knows. He is a sharp and is considered to be a sharp in the horse racing, horse wagering world. We're lucky to have him. I know this Derby coming up is the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby, so a momentous weekend for everybody that enjoys the sport, right?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a huge deal when it's the 150th running, and a bunch of good storylines behind it, and one not so good storyline behind it. But first and foremost, thanks for having me on again, Kevin. It's always a pleasure doing this. I guess we've done it now for like 5, 6, 7 years, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, something like that. So what's the not so good storyline?
So, for the third year in a row, Bob Baffert, who is arguably the greatest trainer now and maybe of all time, is not allowed to run his horses in the Derby. He served a 2-year suspension, as was given to him. And then Churchill Downs decided to extend the ban to this year. So he doesn't have any horses running in the Kentucky Derby this year, and he arguably has maybe the best, or definitely one of the best, a horse called Moose that is excluded from running in this year's Derby. And, me personally, I think just like any sport, everybody kind of pushes the envelope to get an advantage performance-wise, but Bob's been clean for more than 2 years. And it just seems like a personal vendetta, a bit of a witch hunt against Bob Baffert. And a lot of people are happy about it, but more people are very unhappy about it because it doesn't allow us to see the best horses run.
So tell me about the horse that you were specifically talking about. What's the horse's name again?
It's Muth, M-U-T-H. It's definitely top five horse in a 3-year-old colt in the country. And he's got a couple of other 3-year-olds that, at least one other that would have qualified for the Derby. Again, they're excluding all his horses. And in previous years, he actually transferred horses to another trainer so they could run in the Derby. But this year, Baffert and his owners decided, no, we're not going to transfer our horses. And just so you know, for future, for a couple of weeks from now, Moose is probably going to be running in the Preakness and will definitely be one of the favorites.
That's what I was going to ask you. Will it run in the last two legs, the Preakness and the Belmont? So it will be at the Preakness. Well, let's talk about the horses that are going to run tomorrow. Before we get to your picks, your annual selection of all three of the Triple Crown races, tell me about the field, how big it is, and how many, you know, decent horses there are in the field.
You know, this is a very interesting year. It looks like we're going to have a full field of 20 horses running. I'm very hopeful that it looks like it's supposed to rain a lot on Friday and early Saturday, but hopefully the rain holds off for for the latter part of the Saturday card and the Derby is run, without rain. But we did have a late scratch of a horse called Encino. So there's a horse, what they call an also eligible Epic Ride, has been entered to complete the field of 20 horses, and Epic Ride has the chance. It's an interesting field because there's a lot of horses that I think could run second, third, fourth. I mean, just a lot of good quality horses. But I do believe that there's a couple of horses that totally stand out in the race.
All right, so tell me about them.
Okay, well, the favorite, morning line favorite right now is a horse called Fierceness. He was the two-year-old champion, won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, came back and most recently won the Florida Derby, ran the best numbers of any horse entering this race. Very, very good horse when he's on his game. The thing about Fierceness, who's trained by Todd Pletcher, who's won the Derby twice, very talented. The connections are great. He's owned by a gentleman by the name of Mike Rapoli, who's a very, very outspoken individual. He's great for the game. He's trying to make the game better right now by trying to create a commissioner's type office. That's another story maybe for another time. But the thing about Fierceness, there's two things that concern me about the horse. One is he has a pattern of running a good race and a bad race, and then follows it up with a good race and another bad race. So he just ran maybe his best race yet. So if the pattern continues, he may not run the best race. And he's a horse that needs to be either on the lead or right by the lead. And he's breaking out of the 16 hole. So he's parked out wide. So he's going to really have to hustle to get out. And he's also had a little bit of trouble getting out of the gate, where, you know, he gets banged with other horses or he stumbled in the past. So, and then there's this other thing that popped up this week, which I was not aware of, is they treat his hoofs. He's got thin or weak hooves. Uh-huh. So they've been treating him with what's called Equilox, which is like an adhesive, a resin that's used as a filler for horses with weak or thin hooves. And
have they tried bourbon?
Have they tried bourbon, did you say?
Yeah, maybe just rub some bourbon on those hooves.
Yeah, the Kentucky bourbon, there's a lot of good positives in using Kentucky bourbon.
So there's some concern about the horse's hooves at this point.
Publicly, not so much. I just found out about it by somebody who's quote-unquote in the know.
Got
down
it.
There. So it may be something that gets popped up on Saturday on the show.
Right.
But the other horse, there's the Japanese sensation horse that is undefeated, 5 for 5, has run at in four or five different countries. It's the name is Forever Young. He just recently won the Saudi Cup and the Dubai Derby. He's going to have a huge following. You know, the only thing is Japanese horses have come over here and not performed well in the Derby. And he's a horse that is going to be coming from the very back. doesn't like a lot of dirt in its face, so he races wide, and that's not conducive to the race. So while he has proven to be a great horse, 5 for 5 winning big races, I'm not a huge fan of it. And then you have Sierra Leone, which for those that don't know, and I didn't know this, but it's named after a country.
Yep.
Because it's kind of a female name, but it's a colt, a male horse. This horse has done nothing wrong. He's run 4 times, won 3, got nosed out of, took the lead and got nosed out in the last 100 yards and came 2nd in its other race. Trained by Chad Brown, who's never won the Derby. And I talked to Chad recently. I talked to Chad about this horse back in January. I've never heard Chad or seen Chad so animated and excited and confident about a horse. And the horse is impeccably bred. He's out of a sire by the name of Gunrunner. That's one of the all-time great horses. And he's somebody that's going to be have to come from the back of the pack as well. But, you know, he's coming out of he's in the 2-hole. And I think that actually helps him because he's going to save ground and then he's going to make a big run turning for home. And I think Sierra Leone is the horse to get there.
All right. So let's get to your picks.
Okay. So I'm doing something a little bit different this year because, you know, here are your top contenders real quick. Fierceness, Sierra Leone, Catching Freedom, Forever Young, which is the Japanese horse that we just talked about, and another horse called Just the Touch. I'm doing something based on, I talked to a very good friend of mine who's arguably the best handicapper I know about how to do the exotics, meaning like what to do with trifectas and superfectas in a race like this, because they pay off thousands of dollars if you hit the trifecta or superfecta.
Right.
But my pick for the win is going to be Sierra Leone.
All right.
Again, trained by Chad Brown.
You were unfamiliar with it even being a country until it became a horse in the Derby.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's funny because I consider myself to be a geography aficionado, and I just did not know about it.
I think the guy who played Charles Minor, Idris, he's such a good actor. Idris Elba, I think this is his last name, played Charles Minor in The Office, was in that really good movie. It was a good gambling movie, a good poker movie, and I'm forgetting the name of the movie right now. Molly's Game. He was in Molly's Game too, with Jessica Chastain, which was a good movie and a true story, by the way. But yes, I think he is from Sierra Leone. I'll have to check that. But continue, please. You like Sierra Leone for the win?
Yes, I like Sierra Leone for the win. Should go off somewhere around 3-1. Maybe if we get lucky, we get 7-2, 4-1. And then, as far as exactas, I mentioned, Just a Touch and Catching Freedom as two horses. They're morning line 10-1. I like them as well, but there's a horse I like a little bit more for 2nd, but I'm going to do exactas with using Just a Touch and Catching Freedom. But there's a horse called Stronghold that, out of one of my favorite sires, Ghost Zapper, that was one of the best horses. Bobby Frankel, an old trainer, will tell you that he's the best horse he's ever had in his life. And I like that horse quite a bit. And Stronghold's going to probably go off close to 20-1. Mm. So, you know, if Stronghold can run 2nd, you'd get a really nice exact price there. So my plan is to use Sierra Leone in exactas with Stronghold, Just a Touch, and Catching Freedom. And then, as I preface this by saying and talking to my handicapping friend, in trifectas and superfectas, I'm going to key Sierra Leone, which means it has to win. He has to win.
Right.
I'm playing him on top only. And then I'm going to use Stronghold, Just a Touch, Catching Freedom, and this other horse called Endlessly, in the trifecta. I'm going to use them second, and then I'm going to use all, every other horse underneath them. And the reason I'm doing that is, as I said at the beginning of the call, there's so many horses that could come second, third, or fourth in this race. So I'm not going to try to pick it just, you know, a horse for second or third. I'm going to use the all button because that's where your value comes in.
All right, so Sierra Leone to win, the Exacta with Just a Touch, Catching Freedom, and Stronghold. We'd love to see Sierra Leone at 7-2 or maybe even 4-1 by the time we get to tomorrow. And then for the trifecta, Endlessly, but you're going to hit the all button as well with those three horses.
Sierra Leone with Stronghold, Just a Touch, Catching Freedom, Endlessly, and one of them has to come second,
right,
and then the all button.
The all button after that. Got it. All right. We will reconvene in a couple of weeks before the Preakness. Thank you for doing this, as always. It's Eddie C., and you can follow him on Twitter, at Notebook Picks. Good luck. Appreciate your help, as always.
Kevin, one last thing, just for the people to know, this year, very special event. The Belmont is being held at Saratoga Racetrack, first week in June, and everybody is welcome to come on up. Let's go.
It's an area you're very familiar with, and many of the people we know are very familiar with. All right, enjoy. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Eddie C., everybody. Thanks to him. Thanks to Cooley, of course. Back on Monday. Have a good weekend.
On first and 10, Howard throws, and it's caught by Sinnott. Sinnott covered up, breaks tackles, and stays upright.